This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo is in trouble. He's in serious trouble, and I'm trying to figure out why, and I think I've figured it out, mostly. All that, and we have another homage to Rush, and we have a Happy Gilmore. You'll see what I'm talking about coming up right now on I'm Right. Life is strange. Politics is even stranger. And I'm going to give you a little story here before I get going on Andrew Cuomo and everything else. And just know I am lying to you about the names and locations and dates of this story because I have been sworn to secrecy knowing this information. But the general concept of what I'm telling you is very, very, very true. There was a man in a state that I'm not going to name, and he was planning on running for U.S. Congress. And he was the lead. He was the lead in his primary. Everybody loved him. This guy was, he was a shoo-in. And not only was he going to win the primary because of the way this state was set up, he was going to win his bid to be a United States Senator. You know, that's kind of how they upgrade themselves, mostly. You want to start out being whatever local politician, then hopefully you work your way up to being a congressman, and then senator. You know, there's only 100 senators in the world. They call it the most exclusive club in the world, even though they're a bunch of idiots. But that's the way the progression works. This guy wanted to be a senator. And I mean a shoo-in. Everybody just assumes already. I personally, because I knew this individual, I personally started calling him senator just to mess with him. It's just the way it was, right? All of a sudden, out of the blue, goes from being golden boy to getting a little hit piece here in this newspaper. Oh, that's kind of weird. Oh, did you see what this blog said about him? Ooh, that's ugly. And you're waking up every day and there's a new hit piece about this and a new hit piece about that. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I was talking to him about it and he couldn't figure out what was going on. And then eventually he figured out what's going on. You see, there was somebody else in that primary who wanted to be a United States Senator as well, and he didn't feel like losing to this individual. And, well, this other person in the primary who really wanted to win had a very, very, very wealthy, very powerful friend who I will not name for you. And the thing is about wealth and power, you build up favors over time. And people want to do things just to impress you because you are so wealthy and so powerful. What I'm trying to say is if you are mega wealthy and mega powerful, it doesn't take very many phone calls and text messages to destroy anyone and everyone's reputation. Which brings me to Andrew Cuomo. There is something very odd going on right now. Don't worry if you're a little off or forget parts of the story. I'm going to recap it for you briefly. But Andrew Cuomo, he's a darling of the left, right? You've seen it. I mean, you remember very early on, Cuomo's giving these press conferences during the COVID press conferences, and the media is loving it. And look at how he dresses right there. He's got a polo shirt on. He's just like you and me. He's so relatable. I relate to him. I mean, you remember how the media was just in love with the guy. They gave him an Emmy. Look at this stuff.
We're grateful that across the country, there are responsible leaders who are stepping up. One of them provided clear direction and memorable PowerPoints, New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo.
I heard, though, that you had a crush on our boyfriend, Andrew Cuomo. Dude, everyone does, right? I think he's fantastic.
Well, you know Cuomo. He even had a 70% approval rating in April with Republicans. Why? Because he was leading.
Even lifelong Republicans tell me, they look at Cuomo and they're like, God, there's a leader.
Governor Cuomo, who has been a leader in calling for science-based ways to fight this coronavirus. The Academy says that he's being recognized for, quote, his leadership during the COVID pandemic and his masterful use of television to inform and calm people around this world.
Tonight, what we can see from Democrats, especially someone like Andrew Cuomo, is a really pointed prosecution of President Trump's handling of the virus.
I commend Governor Cuomo in taking some of these steps that they already have in limiting capacity.
I mean, I'm so turned on by him. I'm so turned on by the leadership. I have feelings for Andrew Cuomo. I wrote a piece about it.
Sorry, I just needed a second there. All right, but setting that aside. Now, I know what you're saying to me right now, but Jesse, we were all screaming about it on the right when Cuomo was killing people. Well, yes, you're right. I mean, the information was out there. You knew about it. I talked about it several times on the show. I'm sure you knew about it. Andrew Cuomo is responsible, or someone in his administration is responsible. I don't know. It depends on how you view leadership and where the buck stops. Andrew Cuomo is responsible for lots of people dying. It's just that simple. He had a policy saying nursing homes, you know, places with old people, the people who are actually really vulnerable to coronavirus, he had a policy that said nursing homes have to accept coronavirus patients back into them. And of course, surprise, surprise, old people start dropping dead like flies in New York. So you and I were screaming about this, right? We're like, wait a minute, what? Hero, what? I mean, but he was still, as the left always does, the more you fail, the more you're celebrated. He was still lionized. You do remember, I still can't. I will tell you, when I had a buddy call me about this the night it came out. And he said, do you know Andrew Cuomo wrote a book? And I said, okay, I thought he was laughing. But I was like, okay, what's it called? And he said, the book is called American Crisis, Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. And I had been offline all day. I was doing stuff. I started laughing on the phone. I was like, oh, shut up, idiot. You know, laughing. And it's just dead silence on the other end. He said, no, I'm serious. He did. It's that upside down. The guy murdering seniors in New York wrote a book called American Crisis. And of course, wins an Emmy, like I talked about. But this was all standard fare, right? This was all standard fare. Somebody on the left screws up. The left never goes out. And I mean, never goes after their own people. In fact, they'll promote their failures, as the great Rush Limbaugh always taught us. They do. They promote their failures. But something has happened recently, and it's driving me crazy. Because, as you know, I'm hugely arrogant. I mean, I think I know everything. And in general, I do. But I can't figure out what happened. I think I have a general concept of what happened. But Andrew Cuomo, all of a sudden, he has every left-wing entity imaginable, destroying him. He's on the defensive. And don't forget, when it was even mentioned to him earlier about him being responsible for these deaths, he would just blame someone else.
We've done a full study of it. The virus came into nursing homes from the staff. This is before we knew there was asymptomatic spread, before we had the testing capacity.
Mm-hmm. So that was there, and now the wolves are coming for him. We have left-wing media going after Andrew Cuomo. We have Democrat state representatives in New York going after Andrew Cuomo. We have a U.S. attorney and FBI investigation into Andrew Cuomo. And let's pause for a moment here. I know you and I love to believe the best about our cultural institutions. In case you haven't been paying attention, the FBI is not investigating anybody the Democrats don't want investigated. That's simply a fact. Here's the New York AG's findings at the end of January on the nursing homes. New York undercounted deaths from COVID-19 by as much as 50%. Insufficient PPE and testing increased risk. Lack of compliance from nursing homes led to more deaths. And now they're after Cuomo about it. And of course, he's going to do that Cuomo tough guy impression thing where he tries to blast right back at you, give you the who cares routine.
Who cares? 33, 28, died in a hospital, died in a nursing home. They died.
I think their families probably care if the incompetence came from the governor himself. I kind of think that would be a big deal. People would care about that. And now it's breaking. The dam's breaking. The New York Post broke the news. Cuomo aide Melissa DeRosa admits they hid nursing home data so the feds wouldn't find out. We have an assemblyman from Queens, a Democrat assemblyman from Queens, piling on, saying this.
When we get closer to the truth behind the growing nursing home scandal in New York, Governor Cuomo tries to implicate you in the cover-up or threatens your livelihood if you don't lie for him. And that's what happened to me in the last 1 week. I was one of six lawmakers in that private meeting for 2 hours with Secretary DeRosa when she accidentally told us the truth, that there was a cover-up and fear that the information would be weaponized against Governor Cuomo. That moment, I had to tell the truth, and I had to let the public know what happened. And Governor Cuomo called me the next day at 8 p.m. while I was about to bathe my kids. I was with my wife, and for 10 minutes, he berated me. He yelled at me. He told me that, you know, my career would be over. He's been biting his tongue for months against me. And I had tonight, not tomorrow, tonight, to issue a new statement essentially asking me to lie. And asking me, like, I heard and I saw a crime the other day. And he's asking me that I did not see that crime.
And Cuomo, in the true New York fashion, fighting back as best he can.
My office, more than me, has had a long and hostile relationship with Assemblyman Ron Kim. It goes back to the issue on nail salons. We passed a bill. Assemblyman Kim supported the bill. He then flipped 180 degrees because the nail salon business owners found the bill onerous. He supported the bill. He signed the bill. He was at the bill signing. Then the business people in his community got upset, and then he changed his position. Actually used his lobbying firm to lobby on behalf of the business owners, continued to use that lobbying firm and that political operative as his own, and then raised money from those business owners, and continues to. And I believe it was unethical, if not illegal, and I believe it's a continuing racket because he's still doing it.
Illegal? Unethical? Continuing racket? Oof. But the thing is, it's not just the New York Post. It's not just Ron Kim. It seems to be everyone all of a sudden. Bill de Blasio had to get in on it.
That's classic Andrew Cuomo. A lot of people in New York State have received those phone calls. You know, the bullying is nothing new. I believe Ron Kim, and it's very, very sad. No public servant, no person who's telling the truth should be treated that way. But yeah, that the threats, the belittling, the demand that someone change their statement right that moment, many, many times. I've heard that, and I know a lot of other people in this state have heard that.
Yeah, but here's what's weird. Before we get to my buddy Kieran Lawler, here's what's weird. Cuomo hasn't changed. Yeah, he's heard that. They've all heard that, but this is the same Andrew Cuomo that has always been there. Why now? Why public? My buddy Kieran Lawler, former Marine, he had this to say. He's trying to get Cuomo out.
If ever there was a president or a governor who deserves to be impeached, it is the governor who made a decision that caused massive amounts of death and then covered it up for 9 months, all the while bragging about his great handling of the coronavirus. If making a decision that leads to the death of thousands of New Yorkers and then covering it up and possibly obstructing justice, obstructing the U.S. Department of Justice, if that's not an impeachable offense, there's no such thing as an impeachable offense.
He's right. And now he's under FBI and U.S. attorney investigation. And here's the thing. Back to my point in the very beginning. We know the left didn't throw their own under the bus for no reason. They never throw their own under the bus. And no, you're never going to convince me. They felt guilty about all those people dying. Oh, please, they don't care. You know they don't care. That's not how communists think. Something else is going on. And I am not going to rest until I figure out what's going on. I know this much. Somebody very high up in the Democrat food chain, whether that be an elected official or more probably a huge donor of some kind, somebody high in the Democrat food chain is very angry with Andrew Cuomo, and I want to know why. I want to know what's going on, and I'm going to figure it out. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is I have one of those best of both worlds scenarios for you here. You know that old saying, you can't have your cake and eat it too? Well, yeah, you can. It's called Mammoth Nation. When you become a member of Mammoth Nation, and remember, I'm a lifetime member of Mammoth Nation. When you become a member, where's your money go? Well, it goes to people running for office who believe what you believe, who will fight for what you want fought for. But there's more. You get discounts, too. You see, being a member of Mammoth Nation gives you discounts on travel, shopping, telehealth, more things than I could possibly list for you. That's the best of both worlds. Go become a member today. Go to mammothnation.com/Jesse. That's mammothnation.com/Jesse. We'll be back. Sports are important. Now, hold on. Don't change the channel. I only watch chess or something. Don't hold on. Hear me out here for a second. Sports for a nation are important. It's not an accident that every major country in the history of mankind, and minor ones, by the way, I mean small little tribes somewhere, have sports. Why do you think that is? I mean, a lot of it historically was helping train men for warfare, that's part of it. And another huge part of it has always been sports, even if you're not a sports person, brings people together. It's one of the very few things, even in heated political times, it's one of the few things it brings people together. When's the last time you went to a major sporting event? Ever see something wild happen there? You find yourself high-fiving with complete strangers. I'm going to get a beer. Anybody need one? It just brings people together. That feeling of my team versus your team, it's awesome. It's awesome. And I have long been on the record as saying this. I think the left infiltrating, infecting, and destroying sports in America is a big, big part of why this country is ripping itself apart. I don't think the NBA, the NFL, ESPN, which we're about to talk about, going hardcore left, I don't think it is a small deal. And look, I don't even care about some of these things. I don't really watch the NBA anymore. Most of these sports leagues I don't watch. You know I'm heartbroken about not watching football anymore, but that's another matter. It's still a big deal for the country. Because no matter what, I mean, we're not even talking about too far away. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, no matter what, if there was a huge game coming on, and you go out to a sports bar with a buddy, maybe you bring the old lady along, you're high-fiving the guys next to you. You're cheering. It's all sports, right? And you're like, well, who did you vote for first? I don't think I can support it. You don't care. Nobody cares. Give me some cheese sticks. Score some touchdowns, baby. That's sports. Brings everybody together. And I will always believe that's why the left infected it. Because the left destroys. And they knew, the same way they got to the churches, they knew the sports would bring people together. Rush Limbaugh obviously died yesterday. Again, rest in peace to the legend. ESPN's very own Mark Jones liked a tweet wishing Rush Limbaugh would, quote, rot in hell. I'm not making that up.
He's also retweeted something calling Donald Trump a terrorist. And I'm not picking on Mark Jones individually, although he undoubtedly deserves it. I'm picking on ESPN in general, sports in general, the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, all of them. This is bad for the nation that we don't have sports anymore now. Or if you do, it's just the never-ending waterboarding of this horrible cultural Marxist commie propaganda. It's absolutely unwatchable. It is a big, big deal. And I'm not very hopeful. I'll be honest with you. I'm not hopeful about the United States of America turning around many of the cultural trends that are going the wrong way. I'm not. It's just that's not the way it normally goes. Normally, you have to bottom out first. And sadly, I don't think we've found the bottom out here. I'm not worried about that. Sports is the one thing, and maybe it's just because I wish it so much. I miss it so much. Sports is the one thing that I hope some sanity will take over. Because of the nature of the people who often play it and the people who often coach it, these are mostly Republicans. They're mostly people who lean right. The problem is they're also people who understandably are worried about paychecks, and all the money is in being a left-wing activist today. You are one liking a Donald Trump tweet away from having that gigantic endorsement deal taken away, and who wants to deal with that? So either the sports leagues will step up and stand up and start fighting back against this nonsense, or, and look, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, this hurts the United States of America, and it will continue to rip apart the United States of America. You can't even watch the Super Bowl anymore without getting blasted with this crap. So there's no escape, and that's intentional. Never forget it. Now, speaking of escape, I used to dip for a long time. Not even going to tell you what I used to dip because it wouldn't be right, because I don't want you doing it. Fellas, don't. And I will be honest with you. I never, ever, ever got to the point where I didn't love it anymore. I just didn't. I always wanted it. I knew I had to quit. It's bad for me. I'm not your dad. I'm not lecturing you. You know what's good and what's bad for you. I knew it was bad for me. I didn't know how to quit. I didn't. I mean, sure, I could go lock myself in a mountain cabin somewhere, but that's why I'm thrilled I found Jake's Mint Chew. You see, Jake's Mint Chew, no tobacco, no nicotine, all natural. It helped Jake quit. It can help you quit. It tastes outstanding. There are like 11 different flavors. They even have, and I highly recommend these CBD pouches you can put in your lip instead of that tobacco. It will help you quit, and it's totally healthy. For once, you don't have to feel bad about sticking something in your lip. Go to jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse. That gets you 20% off. We'll be back. Joining me now is research fellow at the Heritage Foundation, Joel Griffith. Joel, this little ticker, tracker, whatever you want to call it, on your website of the policymakers and their COVID hypocrisy might be my favorite thing on the internet. There's something about the map that just brings it all home for me, Joel. And I have constantly said to people, look, it's not that they're hypocrites. All politicians are hypocrites and scumbags for the most part. It's that they're not actually worried about coronavirus. Now, am I wrong about that? They are, and they're just covering it up well?
Well, their actions certainly suggest that in their own lives, they're not as worried as they're telling us that we should be. I mean, we could talk for hours about all these examples, but if you look at, I think the one that jumps out most in my head is probably the most recent one, Mayor Jane Castor, who's the mayor of Tampa and was coming down so hard on the good people of her city just for daring to celebrate the Super Bowl without a mask on their face. And then it turns out she was spotted at a hockey game without a mask on. And I'm not saying that she should have had a mask on. I'm just saying that when you have these politicians telling everybody else that they need to stay home and they can't have people over for dinner and they should cancel their vacations for the upcoming year, and yet they're engaged in those very activities as they should be, that is deeply hypocritical.
Joel, I'm actually glad you brought that up because it's a perfect example of what I wanted to talk about. Help me psychoanalyze these people as best as you and I can do. This is a mayor standing up in front of her constituents on TV, yelling at her constituents for celebrating their team winning a Super Bowl. The celebrating your own team winning the Super Bowl is the biggest political gimme I've ever heard in my life, and somehow she comes down on the wrong side of it. How?
Yeah, it's as if she's embarrassed by the imagery that we have seen over the past week of people in Tampa not doing anything out of the ordinary, just living their lives, going out at a bar, going out at a restaurant, having a few friends over on a boat, just living their lives as people should do. And I think some of those of our friends on the left are actually embarrassed by imagery of their constituents actually daring to enjoy life. And we know that there's such a contrast right now between Tampa. I'm actually currently near Fort Lauderdale, where things are almost completely reopened. What a contrast between that and a place like Washington, D.C., where people like myself had been having to worry about having a citation for daring to have a dozen people over for a dinner party.
Hold on. I'm in Texas, and granted, it hasn't been great here either with our governor. I don't want to get into that right now, but you're telling me you could get a ticket for having a party in Washington, D.C.?
In Washington, D.C., we had strict limitations on the number of people that we were supposed to have getting together at any given time. And yes, indeed, the mayor even was telling us that we needed to tell people coming into our own living rooms that they should have a mask on. For a time being, actually, in Northern Virginia, they had actually passed some sort of an ordinance that would fine people for having more than a few people together on a sidewalk. It's absolutely ludicrous. And what I don't understand is I know so many people that not only are tolerating these types of restrictions, they're actually cheering them on. And when they see people like myself and others that dare to exit to go to a place like Florida for a while where people can live their lives, the level of judgment is something that I've never seen in my lifetime. For just simply wanting to be out and go to dinner with friends and have a dinner party, that's something now that is deserving of moral condemnation.
Joel, why do you think so many Americans, obviously not all, clearly not all, but why do you think so many Americans took this hook, line, and sinker so early and now still take it so far? What is it? Why?
I think there is a lot of fear out there. And of course, we know that COVID is dangerous and has claimed sadly a lot of lives, many of them who are elderly or that already had deep health problems. And I think that the focus on this, without putting any numbers into context or explaining what the differences are by age range or even what the differences are state by state, we have a state like Florida that actually is doing far, far better in terms of the number of people that have been lost their lives from this versus a place like New York that shut down. I think a lot of people just don't have their minds around the numbers, and so they're continuing to live in that. And when you're in that environment and that's all you see, and when you turn on the local news and that's constantly the main focus of the information, I think that it does paralyze a lot of people. I have friends that are actually young, in their 30s, that some of them have not actually had people over into their homes for an entire year. And that's not because they're living with elderly grandparents or they themselves are at high risk. It's because they're fearful. But I think what you see too, at least what I've seen in Florida, is you have hundreds of thousands of people that are fleeing those types of environments and that are just eager to be around people. I was at a dinner recently just for young professionals, well over 100 people together, just eating together. It happened to be outdoors, but people were just happy to be around each other, living life, building community. And so many millions of Americans have been denied that opportunity, and it's at the point where that has become immoral.
Joel, I'm sure everybody saw it by now. If not, we'll play a little video for everyone here of the LA County Health Inspector walking in, shutting down a brewery, and then the guy, I'm glad he did, left his security camera on, where then she proceeded to do a little happy dance after strolling in some guy's business and wrecking his life. There's some real power-hungry thing here by people in government, and it is a sickness, and I'm not sure if they're ever going to let it go, man.
Yeah, well, seeing that image earlier today, many things came to mind. It just is just an absolute lack. It suggests that the county just has a lack of concern for those business owners. And just think about the regulation that she was trying to enforce. It was this deal where if you're a brewery, You have to serve food on site, because we all know that COVID is far more dangerous if you're not serving food on site. Well, it turns out this brewery was only serving beer to go, so it was actually within the confines of the law. But regardless, these laws are senseless. You're talking about forbidding people from going to a brewery and having a drink with their friends and celebrating the Super Bowl? Is that what we've come to in a country? I spent a lot of time, lived in Southern California, and I'm very pleased that in places like Orange County and Newport Beach in particular, many of those businesses are daring to function, daring to open. And that's also because that a lot of the local leaders, the local elected leaders, recognize that these restrictions that are put down in place by the governor, it's not just that it hurts businesses, although that's very important. This is actually having a dramatic impact on people's personal lives, their psychological lives, and in cases where churches and mosques and synagogues aren't allowed to open, this is actually impacting people's spiritual lives too. All of these are important, and it is high time that people begin to dare to go ahead and re-enter society and get their lives back.
Amen. Joel Griffith, thank you so much, my man. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
75%. Cybercrime is up 75% since the start of this whole coronavirus stuff. That's shocking. And you know your biggest financial vulnerability almost undoubtedly is your home title. And it's not sitting in a locked bank vault somewhere. It's online. All these guys do all day long is that weirdo hacking stuff, and they can wipe you out. They will steal your home title. They will take out a loan against it. They will take off with the cash, and you have to pay that loan back. And if you don't, they'll evict you from your home. Don't get burned. Go at least see if you're already a victim. You maybe not even know it. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. While you are there, sign up. Sign up. And look, if you use the promo code RADIO, that gets you 30 days of it free. But sign up. HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be back. I don't have to tell you how much I hate communism. I talk about it all the time. I tell you I'm not a Republican. I'm an anti-communist now. That's just firmly what I believe. And I think people do not fully understand how here they are. You sound like a raving lunatic. Everyone thinks you're Joe McCarthy if you bring up communism. They're here. Our own president can't bring himself to comment, to criticize the genocide going on against the Uyghurs right now.
You know, Chinese leaders, if you know anything about Chinese history, it has always been the time when China has been victimized by the outer world is when they haven't been unified at home. So the central, to vastly overstate it, the central principle of Xi Jinping is that there must be a united, tightly controlled China. And he uses his rationale for the things he does based on that. I point out to him, no American president can be sustained as a president if he doesn't reflect the values of the United States. And so the idea, I'm not going to speak out against what he's doing in Hong Kong, what he's doing with the Uyghurs in Western mountains of China and Taiwan, trying to end the one China policy by making it forceful. I said, and by the way, he said he gets it. Culturally, there are different norms at each country, and their leaders are expected to follow.
Just some cultural norms. I don't know what the big deal is. Joining me now to talk about that is the founder and CEO of Young Americans Against Socialism, Morgan Zegers. Morgan, it's just some cultural norms. I don't know what the big deal is.
Oh, exactly. And what's really disgusting is that we now have an American president parroting the talking points from a communist regime in China. It's very disappointing, but it's exactly what we can expect from Joe Biden.
Why, Morgan? I mean, help me understand this from a broader perspective, because Joe Biden is what he is. His brain's turned to pudding anyway. It's such a disgusting, evil ideology responsible for more misery and death than anything else out there. And yet people still champion it to this day. They still, even half of them don't, I don't feel like they know they champion it. Why?
It comes from a place of ignorance, and that can be traced back to failures in the education system, failures in the classroom. I graduated high school in 2015, and I can personally attest to the fact that I did not learn that China forcibly sterilized and forced abortions onto women in their country for the one-child policy. I didn't know that 10,000 people are said to have been killed from the Tiananmen Square massacre. Of course, we see the Tank Man picture. That's a classic picture in history class, but you don't really learn the backstory. And so for me, I think this is coming from a failure of the education system to pass down what's going on in current events in our world and the fact that the communist regime in China is responsible for so much suffering. So my message to my generation is if you want to be a social justice warrior, if you want to speak truth to power, then you need to stand up against the Chinese Communist Party and what they're doing to people like the Uyghurs who are in the concentration camps there.
Morgan, it seems like, look, let's be honest, it doesn't seem like it's true that so many people on the left hate America more than they hate China. Is that unfair?
I think that's actually fair to say. A recent poll came out in 2020 from Victims of Communism that showed that more Americans actually think more people died from Nazi Germany than they have died in communist China. So this goes back to a basic misunderstanding of what's happened throughout history.
Okay, Morgan, how do we change the American education system? I'm an extremist in all things. I just would rather burn the entire thing to the ground and then salt the ground on which it stood. I understand that's probably not reasonable. What's the Morgan solution?
Well, I've been having many conversations. I've gone to D.C. and I've talked to, you know, the think tanks and the organizations that are known for lobbying. Unfortunately, as conservatives, we're in a bit of a pickle here because we don't believe in top-down approaches. And so we can't just say we need a federal mandate to require a certain education in the classroom. And so really the big focus here is either state-level reform, where we can perhaps focus on required education on the horrors of communism. I know in about 11 states have passed similar legislation about the horrors of the Holocaust. And so they'd require a few days of education for their high school and middle school students, teaching them about the horrors of the Holocaust in order to make sure it doesn't happen again. We could take that kind of legislation, turn it into an anti-communism bill, and see if we could get it passed, perhaps in the Republican trifectas. I would say if you want a direct approach, though, many Americans are looking for how they can get involved. I would say get involved with your own school board. I know my kids are not going to public school, I can tell you that right now, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to care about what's happening in my community and how the people, the young kids, the young minds are being trained in my community about the history, economics, and policy behind Marxism, socialism, and communism. So either get involved in the school board or even run for it if you think that there's a problem there.
Morgan, obviously you pointed out you graduated in 2015, so we can reasonably assume you're fairly young, obviously a lot younger than I am. Obviously you have your head on straight somehow. I have parents who email me all the time, worried about their kids, worried about their teenagers right now, worried about what they're learning, and don't know what to do. How did you get like you are?
Well, I'm pretty lucky. My parents never forced one political ideology onto me, but my father is a colonel in the military, and they raised me to at least have a respect for our country, for our founding principles, and for history itself. So I came up with that foundation when I was raised, and they never pushed political views onto me. I came to my views on my own. But what concerns me is I went from upstate New York, where I was born and raised, to Washington, D.C. I went to American University. And there were a ton of different issues on campus, a ton of radical activism that I saw. But the craziest thing I experienced was living with a communist. I had a communist roommate with a poster of Mao Zedong, Lenin, Stalin, Karl Marx, and Fidel Castro on her wall. And when I asked her what it was, after I initially introduced myself, she said, "Oh, I'm a communist." And my message to so many of the older Americans who are concerned by this is, she's not some evil gulag-style communist. She really does think she's advocating for the working class, and she's seeking justice for the people who are suffering in America. And when she explained to me why she doesn't like conservatism, she said that conservatives say that we care about issues and that we want to help others, but then we don't put government action or government taxpayer dollars behind the things we say we care about. And that all comes down to a battle of messaging, the language that's used. And I think my generation looks at issues and sees caring about something or helping something, solving something with a solution, as putting taxpayer dollars or government action behind it.
Morgan, all right, let's talk about your roommate a little bit more. And obviously, I don't want you to call her out or anything like that. But how did she merge the deaths? I mean, between Stalin and Mao alone, were over 100 million people. Was she unaware? Was that just making the omelet, breaking some eggs? What was said about that? I'm curious.
Well, this is what has inspired me in my work going forward. Like I said, I was raised with a great respect for American values. My father's a colonel in the military. I love history. And even when I was put into a situation where I'm now living with a communist with mass murderers and dictators on a poster in her bedroom, which is insane to me, she had been through the entire U.S. education system, I feel like I lacked the intellectual ammunition to really have a strong conversation with her. And so I really wanted to find a way to reach young Americans with the truth about socialism and communism, because first of all, they need to hear the truth no matter what. But second, there's a study from Michigan State University that says the most effective way to pass down this kind of information to young minds and change hearts and minds is actually via peer. It's not from parent or professor. So the most effective way to pass anti-socialist, pro-freedom messaging and talking points and information is hearing it from a friend. And so we make videos at Young Americans Against Socialism about history, economics, policy, and culture, giving the facts that young people need so that if they ever end up like me, on a college campus living with a communist, they'll have the courage and the intellectual ammunition, the facts, to have a strong conversation and at least ask them, how did you get here? How did you get there with these values and masters wall?
Morgan, please plug wherever people can go to watch this, because I get parents asking me all the time. Clearly, I need some links. People need some links. Give them to me, please.
Thank you so much. If you go to fightsocialism.org, it's a ton of written content. We have about 35 young writers. Like I said, peer-to-peer communication is key. So we're trying to bring as many young communicators onto the team. And we also have a ton of awesome videos that you can see. It's at fightsocialism.org. We recommend first watching them yourself so that you can become an efficient communicator, but then also sharing them with the young people in your life to make sure they get the message as well.
Morgan Zegers, fightsocialism.org. People there, stop emailing me. Now you know. Thank you, Morgan.
Thanks for having me.
You ready for some Happy Gilmore? I'm ready for some Happy Gilmore. Hang on. I love the movie Happy Gilmore. You know why? One, I'm a red-blooded American male. Two, I lack certain levels of maturity. And as a red-blooded American male, I appreciated this yesterday when, on the 25th anniversary of Happy Gilmore, Adam Sandler redid the famous Happy Gilmore golf shot.
Okay, it's been 25 years since I've done this. Let's see what happens. I'm scared. Shooter McGavin, this is for you. And I'm not lying to you, that is smashed. And that went pretty well. You're dead, Shooter.
You gotta love the throwbacks. And yes, for your information, Shooter McGavin, his real name is Christopher McDonald. He responded.
Nice drive, Gilmore. 25 years, huh? Let's see if it's Shooter's tour. Check it out. Oh, yeah. It's all about the short game. Drive for show, putt for the dough. Money. Shooter, still got it. Well, thank you to all the fans, and thank you to you, Adam Sandler. And, why don't you just meet me at the ninth green at 9, Gilmore? Little secret of the pro. Okay. Oh, and, Gilmore, wear something nice. 25th anniversary, baby. Shooter out.
One of the great bad guys in comedy movie history. I'll see you tomorrow. Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What, look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these farrier drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps.
And then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.